Bibles to the book of Amos, chapter number 6. Amos, chapter number 6. This morning we was in Daniel, be Hosea, Joel, and Amos. If you're going in that direction in your Bibles, to find that what we call a minor prophet, but not really minor in importance, just a smaller one of the books. But Amos, chapter number 6, a familiar verse of Scripture. And I just want to pick up on a thought there and give you a few thoughts that God laid upon my heart that may help us. I pray it does. I've been on Sunday nights dealing somewhat with the church and saying something about the church and dealing with that, and I want to do so again tonight. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations whom the house of Israel came. I want you to notice in that verse, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, trust in the mountain of Samaria. Keep that in mind. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for the privilege we have to bow and pray. Thank you for the word of God that we just read. Thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs. And what a blessing it is, God, to sing and hear these choirs sing and have fellowship in the house of God. Then, Lord, those that ask for special prayer, I pray for them. I pray for the family in bereavement, the Wells family. I pray you minister and be near and dear to them tonight. I pray for those that are sick and ask us to pray, Sister Byers. I ask you to help her in a special way. Then, Father, in this house tonight, there are those here that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And I pray tonight the Holy Spirit bring real conviction, draw them to Jesus. I pray they'll be saved. Then I pray for those that may be here saved and their hearts have grown cold, and help all of us, God, realize the fact we need revival in our hearts, our lives in these days. And I pray as a church you'd help us. Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Talking about woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And here in context of Scripture, of course, Amos is prophesying, telling about what's going to come. And he starts out his book talking about other nations. Then he gets down to talking about Israel and talking about what God's going to do there. And he's continuing in this thought and saying here in verse 1, chapter 6, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. They had the attitude that because we're in Jerusalem, Zion's another word for Jerusalem, and because they were in Jerusalem, they had the idea that they were okay. Everything would be fine. There'd be no judgment come to them because they were in Zion. They were descendants of the king, great King David. They realized their inheritance in that area and recognizing they were a part of the chosen people of God in that day, the Jewish people. And we know we talked about that. But I'm glad, aren't you glad, that in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Gentile, amen, bond nor free. We're all made one in Christ Jesus our Lord and our Savior. But here, these are Jewish people, and they're trusting in the fact they're in Zion. And, of course, Samaria in the northern country, Israel is all right. And here's Judah in the southern kingdom, and they're comparing those two and trusting in one and the other. But anyway, they got their trust in the wrong place. And where they are, they're trusting. That's okay. Now, I got to dealing with this, thinking about this, and I pray that God would help us to get this right. And I think I'm on, aren't I? Okay. Couldn't hear myself. That's bad when you can't hear yourself. Amen. I ought to. It's probably loud enough. I just didn't there for a minute and went on a blank spot. But I got to think about this in the way of a church, and I pray God to help me word this right, say this like I want to say it, and pray that God will use it for his glory. Let me say, first of all, the church is made up of born-again believers, amen. And we're talking about the local church now, and we realize that all saved, born-again, regenerated folk make up the bride of Christ, and someday will be yonder with him as a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this world, the church is a local church and set up as local churches. God always works through the local church. God is in the local church. Amen. And I'm glad to be a part of a local church. And thank God for that. And let me say to you, you can be a member of a body of believers in a local church and not be saved. You ought not to be, but it's a possibility that your name could be on the roll because that you say you're saved, but you're not really saved. Now, I don't know. I can't see your heart. I don't know whether you're saved or not, but God does see your heart, and God does know if you're really saved. And so let me talk about that just for a moment. Then I'm going to give you three things, if God will help me do so tonight, about being at ease in Zion. But you must be born again. John 3:3. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye be born again, a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's not a question about that. That's not something that you debate about, that you may get to heaven some other way. You cannot go to heaven except being born again. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by me. And so there's not but one way to go. That's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. Amen. I believe he meant what he said what he meant. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, paid our price, shed his blood, was buried, rose again the third day. And that is the gospel. That he came, died, and rose from the dead. I am glad that Jesus Christ lives. He's ascended back into heaven. He's the only mediator there is between man and God, is the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. There is a high priest, and he's in heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is he your Lord? Is he yours tonight? Do you know him personally? If you had to die right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? I was talking to Brother Jonathan about his sister, and it looks like unless God intervenes, that soon she'll be crossing over to the other side. He was talking to me about the peace that she has and about how her faith is in the Lord Jesus, and it's not a struggle for her about crossing over on the other side, but she'll be in a world of glory and hallelujahs and praising God. And a day of rest and peace and no pain, no sorrow, no heartache. Do you have that assurance tonight that you'll be in that place? If you had to die tonight, if you had to go right now, and this was all, and God said this is it, your heart stopped, or you had an automobile accident, or whatever happened, somehow, some reason you died tonight, do you know that you go to heaven? Do you know that? Amen. That's worth saying amen about if you know that. Amen. I praise God. It's real to know that you're saved. Saved. I'd rather know that I'm saved than know anything else. Amen. Saved, saved, saved. And preacher, how you know you're saved? Because God tells me I'm saved. Amen. I know I'm saved because I witness the Holy Spirit. I know I'm saved because God said if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'd be saved. And that believing in the heart, you can't do that unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you and deals with you, convicts you and draws you and brings you to place. And then you repent and trust Jesus Christ, make a step of faith and believe that you're saved. That's how you get saved. And so if you ever got saved, you got saved that way. Now tonight, let's get back to the church. Everybody that's in the church ought to be a saved person, amen. And you ought to be born again. If you don't know that you're saved, you ought to run to the altar and get saved right now and come and ask God to save you, amen. You don't have to wait for an invitation to be saved. You ought to get saved now. If you realize the fact you're lost, God's speaking to your heart, bringing conviction to you, you can be saved. But now let's talk about the church. And the church said, he said, woe to them that are. And when God pronounces a woe, he means woe. Amen. And Brother Gary's been mentioning about the United States and how we need a revival in America. And I say amen to that. We need a revival in America across that land. I'd love to see God breathe, God move, and God stir. We need revivals in our churches. That's how come to our land. If our land ever has revival, it'll be because our churches got revived. And that's how it comes, because God works through the local church. And so we must see that and realize that fact. But I was talking to someone else this week, another preacher, and we sharing together talking. And we dealing with some things and talking and sharing some burdens and cares. And thing about churches as they grow, I pastored several churches. And I pastored a mission, organized two churches, and I'm not saying that's anything good about me, just God been good to me and helped me in some areas. But and seeing churches grow, and I've seen them grow. I've seen God move, God stir, God get a hold of folk and see people bring people and see God breathe on that place, God move through, God do something great and mighty, and God's done it here at Gateway. I say hallelujah. I praise God for what he has done at Gateway. I rejoice in what he's still doing at Gateway. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, we may move in an area we don't want to move into. And so God help us tonight. Now you listen closely to what I'm saying. A church can reach a certain level and get relaxed in that level and think we have arrived. A church can be so blessed of God that they feel like they've gotten there. And then they begin to sit back and think, well, we belong to Gateway Baptist Church. And boy, God has blessed down through the years. And she's grown, she's done this, and she's done that. If we're not careful, we become lax and get lazy on God and don't do what God have us to do. And it gets us in trouble, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But there's three things I want to say to you tonight about this thing. And that we're at ease in Zion if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. I preached a message just recently about being filled with the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart that God said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, use that being drunk in comparison with being filled, because when you're drunk, you'll do things you wouldn't do otherwise. And by the way, I said this morning, you ought not to drink. I still believe that. Amen. The Bible says wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever's deceived thereby is not wise. And so, but he used that illustration in comparison of the two, because a person that is drunk will do things they wouldn't do otherwise. And people that are filled with the Spirit of God will do things they wouldn't do otherwise. Amen. But what they do will be the right thing and a good thing. It won't be something crazy. It won't be something bringing disgrace. It won't be something sinful. It won't be something that you're ashamed of the next day. It'll be something you can say, God did something in my life, and God did that. And I'm talking about being filled now. You say, preacher, you're talking about being at ease. We are at ease if we're not filled, because we'll never work right if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We'll never witness right if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We'll never sing right if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We'll never preach right if we're not filled with the Spirit of God. And being filled with the Spirit of God does not mean that you're going to stand on your head and gargle peanut butter. Amen. It means that God's going to have control of your life. And that when he has control, Holy Spirit came not to bear witness of himself, but to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and to point men and women, boys and girls, unto Jesus. I say to you tonight, Jesus is the only answer there is. And the Holy Spirit, preacher, why do you preach so much about Jesus being the only way? Because he's the only way. And because the Holy Spirit nudges my heart to preach that. We're living in a generation that talks about getting heaven this way, getting heaven that way. And you don't get to heaven without being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we need that being filled with the Spirit of God, that you may know that you're saved. By the way, God doesn't fill unclean vessels. Amen. I said that before. Say it again tonight. In James chapter 4, verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's what God said. Now, I'm going to park out just a minute because I want to make a point. Because of what's said many times about people when they pass away. There was a celebrity that passed away recently and got on stage, acted ignorant, played music that was rock and roll, and God wasn't nowhere around it.
Amen.
Amen. You're welcome. That's exactly what they did. And demonic powers all around that, in the drug culture and all of that, had all of that. I heard on a news broadcast, his brother testified to this fact and said, I'm sure that he's in heaven because he did so many good things. I wanted to cry out and said, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. You don't go to heaven because you do something good. He gives some money to a charity here, some money to a charity there, but I saw in his life no fruits of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't even hear a local church mentioned. I didn't hear anything about God mentioned. I heard about doing good things, and surely he went to heaven. That's a mentality of our world today. And I'm trying to preach to you that mentality is wrong. That's naturalistic man talking. That's worldly talk. God's not in it. You must be born again. And then if you are born again and you're going to be what God wants you to be, have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, there is such a thing as being filled with the Spirit of God. Like I said, it's not acting silly. It's not bringing attention to yourself. It's not doing something to bring attention to any group of people or doing certain things. It is talking and witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ will be evidence that you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is the only way there is to heaven. So we talked about being filled with the Spirit of God. And so we need to be a clean vessel that God can fill and God can use. Then let me say this tonight. Number two, if you're not standing in your place, you're at ease in Zion. You need to be in your place. Amen. Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost is fully come, it's all in one place and one accord. Boy, that'd be a blessed time. Amen. Being in one place and one accord. You need to be in your place and stand in your place. Everybody needs to be in their place. Over there in Judges chapter 7, verse 21, I believe, I was preaching about Gideon the other night and talking about him. And every man stood in their place. It didn't happen, 300 faced a whole thousands of Mennonites. And God let them have the victory because every man stood in his place and did what they're supposed to do. And so if we don't stand in our place, then something don't get done. Amen. And so now, church, if any pastor ever loved their church, this pastor loves his church and loves his people. But I'm telling you, we're letting up in some areas. And sometimes you have to beg people to get them to do something. Then we got other folk that they're willing to do and jump in and do. Thank God for that. Amen. I praise God for that. But what I'm trying to tell you is we don't need to let up now. We don't need to slack up now. Amen. I remember when the prayer rooms used to be filled, but they're not now. I remember when you have visitation, people come out, but there's not many comes out now. You know what's happened to us? We've got at ease in Zion. We've let up what God said for us to do. You say, preacher, you hadn't even scheduled visitation. I know I've been praying about this thing. I've been getting ready to preach. Amen. I've been getting ready for God to do something. Ain't no use me saying we're going to pray. Fact is, I'm taking Saturday night prayer meeting out of the bulletin. You know why? Because very few people come anyhow. And that's not a church program. That's just something we started for people that really wanted to pray for the services on Sunday. And I don't see any use in saying anything about that if people don't care enough to come and pray. Amen. I know you pray where you are at home. And so it's not a church thing. And so we'll just take that out and forget that. And not forget it, but I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep coming on Saturday night. I'm going to keep praying, asking God to do something for us. I'm just using that for a little example now. Hang on. Hang on. Amen. And at a time when we came in and people brought people with them, and boy, they got excited. Now, by the way, that's the third thing I want to bring to your attention is the fact we need to bring people to Christ. Amen. When you get concerned about soul winning, being a witness for Christ, doing something for God, and not just coming in and saying, well, it's time to go to church. We're going to go to church. Bless me, Lord, if you can. Some folk come in, they sit down, You say, preacher, you're kind of mean. I ain't even taking any sinus medicine today. I'm still about half wound up. Amen. People come in and they'll sit down and they'll say, now bless me if you think you can. Amen. Amen. Used to come in and say, whoopee, wonder what God's going to do tonight. Used to come in and say, hallelujah. I wonder how God's going to do it tonight. Wonder what's going to happen in the service tonight. I wonder how good it's going to be tonight. Amen. That youth choir would sing. People get excited. Hallelujah. Shout and praise God. And there's a time when everybody around the house of God trying to bring somebody. You brought somebody tonight. I say, hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for you. I praise God for everyone that ever comes in that we've invited and asked to come. And I thank God for that. But listen, what if everybody got excited about getting somebody to come to the house of God? What if everybody got excited about this thing of getting people to Jesus and getting them saved? What if everybody got unburdened about it, got to the altar, and got to praying and weeping over people going to hell without God, and got to the place where we really... And by the way, I'm preaching to me as well as to you, because a pastor can cool off too, and I'm not exempt from that. In fact, is there've been days I have cooled off. Amen. There've been times when we reached a certain plateau that I eased up, and trouble came, and I prayed more. Probably, amen. Probably why God allowed it to come. Amen. And y'all still with me? Y'all ain't gone anywhere, have you? Hang on. I'm talking tonight about this thing about being at ease in Zion. We've gone at ease in Zion. And if I tonight tried to say, hey, we're gonna try to canvass our area and we're going to have revival. We're going to do something, having a mission Sunday. And boy, we're going to try to get some, Brother Gary's going to be doing some teaching and preaching. And boy, I'm excited about it, looking forward to it. But you know what? There'll be some folk, they won't pay a bit more attention to the fact that we're having mission Sunday than we'll, that we're pouring water on a duck's back. Amen. But you know what we need? We need to get excited about it. We need to get excited about it. God said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every. That's our responsibility. I'm excited about how we're going to do that. I'm excited about how we're going to get the gospel out to everybody that they may hear the word of God and be saved. Amen. And so we need to hear that. You say, preacher, do we really need to get involved in that? We give some money out. We take an offering. We give a percentage out of that to mission. Isn't that good enough? Well, how concerned are we? How much do we really care about people going to hell? How much do we really care whether they hear about Jesus or don't hear about Jesus? How much do we really care? It tells on us right here in the church. It tells on us right here in the church because we don't really get too concerned about right here around us. Amen. You say, preacher, people don't pay much attention today about inviting them to church. Well, I'll say amen to that. But somebody somewhere, amen, and somebody somewhere, Sister Tappy, I'm glad you came tonight. Amen. I met her in Denny's. I invited her to church. I left her track, and she came. Amen. Hey, somebody out there somewhere that's waiting on somebody to invite them to the house of God. That'll say, come. And boy, you come on a good night. You're helping me preach tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hope she comes back. And listen to me. I'm trying to tell you tonight, I know y'all have invited people that's come, and other people have invited people that have come, and praise God for that. But we all do that on a consistent basis and really get concerned about it. We'll have more people come in the house of God. You say, preacher, we got a pretty good crowd considering everything in this day and time we live in. Hey, we got a lot of empty pews. Amen. We got some empty pews I'd like to see filled up for the glory of God. In fact, I remember a time when we saw them filled. I remember a time when we got there. And you know what happened? We leveled off and we got complacent about it. And we used to be dividing Sunday school classes, and now we're combining Sunday school classes. You know why? Because people don't have any interest in Sunday school. Don't care about teaching the word of God. We've lost our zeal about that. I remember a time when we were so excited about how many got here and how many's coming to Sunday school and what we was going to do, how we was going to do it. Now listen, I'm blaming myself as much as anybody for all of this, but I want God to do something for us. I'm not satisfied with where we are. I'm not satisfied with what we're doing. I want to see God do something for us. And I realize the fact the older I get, the weaker in body I get, but I know the weaker in body I get, the greater my God is, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. And I want God to do something for us in these days. We need a burden for souls. Go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Shall doubtless come again to rejoice and bring their seeds with them. Amen and amen. Preacher, good preaching. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to let God have his way and God do what he wants to do, standing in our place, being there, being faithful, doing what God said, and letting God be God in our life. Amen. Amen. Now let me tell you something about this soul winning business. It talks about over in Isaiah 66:8, I believe it is. Said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You know why no more children being born into the kingdom of God than is? It's because there's not much travail going on. Ain't not much weeping going on. Ain't not much getting to the altar and crying out to God. God, save my family. Save my loved one. Save my friend. Save my neighbor. Save mine that's going to hell without God. And some mixed up in junk out there. You ought to be on the altar crying to God. Save them. Get them out of that mess. Amen. And there's some tonight need to hear me. And hear me well. At ease in Zion. We've gone into ease in Zion. I believe we ought to believe God. We ought to trust God. But we ought to do what we can do for ourselves. If we don't do, God ain't going to do. Ain't going to do. That's not good English, but it's good preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Let me kind of bring this thing to a close here. What's the result of this anyway? We feel if you're not filled, and then if you're not letting God have his way, not in your place, you let up, you quit this and quit that, and let up on things, and then you're witnessing and care about witness, let's up. Those three things, what happens to us then? That could be carried on a whole lot more things. I'm just giving you those. That could be carried a lot further. But what happens then? You get insensitive. Get insensitive to the needs of people around you. And then you get irresponsible. You don't feel any responsibility. Well, it don't make any difference why I'm there or not. That don't make any difference. It don't make any difference why I'm in my place or not. It don't make any difference whether I sing or not, sing choir or not. It don't make any difference. That don't make any difference. You lose your sense of responsibility. And then you know what else happens to us? We forget the danger. We forget. What's the danger, preacher? Ichabod wrote over the door. And God's glory has departed. I thank God, hey, tonight, I'm glad to be in an old-fashioned church. I'm glad to be in one that'll raise their hands and say amen and praise God. Not ashamed to worship God. Not ashamed to say amen. Not ashamed to do. I'm glad for that, amen. I'm glad for that. But you know what? It can go away. God can take it away from you and me. If we keep letting up and letting up and letting up, there'll be a day we'll be dried up. And it'll be dead at 4:00. And you'll be wondering what happened. I'm trying to tell you tonight. And tonight is a time that we ought to wake up and get up and do something.
Yeah. Amen.
Preacher, I don't know about your preaching tonight. The devil's told me not to preach it, but I ain't paying much attention to him. Amen. We need to hear what God's got to say. God's got to say. Well, what are we going to do about it? It's the next thing. I'm glad you asked that question too, because I'm going to give it through the Bible. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He didn't say sometime. He said now. It's knowing now time, it is high time that we awake out of our sleep. For our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore. That let us means me, you, everybody. Let us therefore put off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting, drunkenness. Not in chambering. Not in wantonness. Not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I say, may the Lord help us wake up in these days. Amen. Then get busy for God. Wake up. Get busy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. be faithful, do what God has us to do, get concerned about souls, do what God says, don't be at ease in Zion. Well, I got to go to church and hear singing, hear preaching, then go out and forget about it. That's not it. It's everyday life of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, I'm concerned about my life. I'm concerned about your life. I'm concerned that all of us let God do for us what he wants to do. Let God be God in our lives. Get a greater burden for souls. I need a greater burden for souls. I need a better prayer life. I need God to do something for me. I need revival. And I realize our country's in a mess. And I realize that things are happening today that we didn't dream we'd ever see happen. But I know it's going to start with me and you. Every individual has to answer for themselves. And may God help us tonight. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray the sweet Holy Spirit would help us tonight to examine ourselves and see ourselves like we really are. Father, may we forget about everything else in this world and think about where are we? How concerned are we for souls that's going to hell? And how much do we really care? Where are we in our desire to see God send revival and God to do something special in our lives? Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. But Lord, help us tonight to move in a step forward. And Father, that we may see ourselves and do what we need to do. I pray for our people. I pray you'd help us all tonight. Then Lord, those who've come in to worship with us tonight, I pray that you'd help them. You know their hearts, their lives. You know exactly where they are and what they need. And I pray tonight, God, meet the need. We'll thank you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet.